All right, everybody, welcome to Nerds of a Certain Vintage. As always, I am Patrick.
And I am Andy.
And we are nerds who are here for our podcast proper, our last podcast proper for April.
April.
Yes.
Not Monkey Rill. Don't get it wrong.
No.
Yeah, one has a tail, one does not.
Yeah.
Best our best. Month does not have a tail. Tailless.
All right, so the Bald Irishman is 6.1% alcohol by volume.
Oh, I'm glad you said alcohol by volume, because when you said 6.1 and a Bald Irishman, I was just thinking you were talking about penis size, so that's not a good thing.
And the Irish Cream Porter is unclear.
Oh, it's a mystery.
Yeah.
It's a surprise.
I dare you to try to go to that website. Look at that website that's on there.
ZeroGravityBeer.com.
Oh, I thought it was more like a German word.
Pat's not wearing his reading glasses.
No, I'm not wearing any reading glasses.
So what, you said one's a porter. What's the other one? A red ale?
A nitro porter, and the other is a red ale.
Oh, I'm going to go with the red ale, end with the cream ale.
All right. Yeah. Here we go. What are you drinking over there?
Because cream.
You always want to end with the cream.
Exactly. Isn't that normally how it works?
That's what I've heard,
yeah. Mm. Not that I ever get to do that with my two children. I don't mean with my two children. I don't mean with my two children. I meant the fact that I have two children is telling. That's all I'm saying.
Man,
I'm glad I caught
that's
that.
Where we
I,
get
I'm glad
canceled.
I caught that right before you did. I was like, wait a second. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, the soju is good, but not that good.
Anyway.
So good.
We're talking about apes.
Yes, we're talking about the king of the apes.
So if you listen to our last podcast, you know we did our top 11 primates in media. And of course, King Kong was number one
of
both of us.
Because
how could it not be King Kong?
Yeah, the only one that would even hold a candle to it would be, like, Planet of the Apes.
Or apples. Yeah.
Planet of the Apples.
I love an apple pie.
No, but I mean,
it's so full of meat.
Yes, but they're not kings, are they? They just control the planet.
Well, plus the fact that there's so many of them, it's not like you're going to. Because the other thing,
then there's politics.
I know.
There's like, right?
And
there's
who wants that?
There's economies.
Well, I was going to suggest that we deep dive Roddy McDowell, who played Cornelius in the Planet of the Apes.
It's not too late.
Well, I'm interested to see where this goes.
We can do a mini deep dive. We'll see how King Kong goes.
Yeah, we'll see if King Kong like
we don't
want to
give the
fast.
Kong a short shrift.
Yeah, well, hard to do. I mean, what is he like, 60 stories tall or something?
Depends on the story.
The version, right? Yeah, he was not as big in the original as he is in the MonsterVerse.
No. Well, that would have been very difficult because he would have been as big as where did he go? The Empire State Building?
Exactly. The reality of it is that there's no way that he could be as big as he is in the MonsterVerse. His legs would snap. I mean, there's no way to sustain that kind of weight.
Right.
Only in the center of the Earth, only in Pellucidar could that happen because of the weird gravity shit.
Right.
Then apes could be a thing. But once they get up on the surface, no, their bones are just going to crack under them.
Yeah.
The only reason that Godzilla can walk around is because he's so bottom heavy.
Yeah. He does his squats. He doesn't skip leg day.
No, he doesn't skip leg day.
I mean, it's all tail, too.
It's fortunate that his legs, I mean, he's 20 stories tall, but his legs are like half a story tall.
Yeah. And he's got the tail to support him.
He's really just dragging
his... So he's like a tripod.
He's dragging his penis on the ground, really.
A quadruped when he's lucky.
When he gets excited by some other muto.
Is that a big moth?
Oh.
Or are you just having to see
Yeah, exactly. Mmm. That looks promising.
So stupid. Oh, Lord. This is going to be a great episode. I predict we will say on Tuesday.
Best episode ever is probably what we will say on Tuesday.
Probably. So we're going to do a deep dive on Kong.
Yeah, we're just going to talk a little Kong talk.
And we can't just do like, we'll go to IMDb and look at what Kong is because...
No, we're definitely going to go to Wikipedia.
And so here's what I did. I searched up Kong in like just general Kong in media.
Okay.
And that's going to bring up the movies. Then I have Kong in TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Kong in books. Kong on the stage.
Yeah, okay.
And Kong in the comics.
All right. Well, there's definitely some Kong in the comics. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So, where do you want to start? We got to start in the movies.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
where that is where he started, right?
1933. I actually kind of looked
RKO
to see...
RKO Pictures produced and released King Kong.
Yeah, I kind of looked to see if there was some sort of, like, literary work that it was based on, but no. They made it up out of a whole cloth.
You know what I heard?
Who?
Stan Lee said, wouldn't it be cool...
exactly.
...if there was a big monkey.
Yeah, having a big monkey. And Jack Kirby was like... Not a monkey man. A monkey was not going to get
it
that
big. It could
be
a monkey man, but that's like 100 years in the future.
Jack was like, come on, Stan, get your head on right. It's got to be an ape. Apes get big. Monkeys don't get big.
I've got an idea for a name. Grand Kong.
Big Giant Kong. Jack, get in here and do something with that. You can do it, man.
I heard that Jack Kirby took credit for Spider-Man, too. Which was bullshit, because, like, Steve Ditko was the one who basically made Spider-Man who he was. But Jack Kirby did come up with a character that was very similar,
right. The Fly. Well,
no. He drew Spider-Man, and I'm, for those of you on audio, I am doing air quotes here.
Yeah, and you're all on audio, so that means everyone.
Yeah, so he, well, not you.
Well, no, I see your air quotes.
You see the air quotes.
Yeah, I see your air quotes.
I see you air quotes,
I'm not sure what those are. Are you having a spasm over there or something?
So apparently, I was reading an article about how Jack, so of course it was through the same process.
Right.
We've got Stan Lee who says, Spider-Man! And,
well, this is Stan's story.
Jack Kirby comes in and he's like, yeah, I could draw something for that. And he draws a character that is supposed to be Spider-Man. But it's not. Like, it looks more like Captain America than Spider-Man. And so Steve Ditko is the one who actually designed the
character. No, I believe that. I believe Steve Ditko did, but I believe that.
But Jack Kirby took credit for him later in life.
No, but
I'm just saying, I want to let you know that your hero, Jack Kirby, pulled a Stan Lee later in life.
No, but this is the thing. Your entire thing about Jack drawing something terrible and Steve Ditko doing is that's Stan's story. You're relying on Stan's story. Why would anybody...
There are pictures of what Kirby drew, which are like... I mean, he's got a web gun.
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, I'm interested to see it, but I have one of the origin books where he talks about where the idea came from.
But yeah, it's all.
What does this have to do with Kong?
It's got nothing to do with Kong. So let's get back to Kong.
Yep.
So yes, 1930s, RKO Pictures produces and releases King Kong. How much do you think King Kong made? That movie.
I think it was,
it's a huge hit.
Yeah, right? I was like, expect it was at least relatively successful. Right. I mean, I think Peter Jackson famously said that he wanted to make his King Kong so that it had the same experience that when he went to see the original King Kong. Because back then,
when he was a young man in the 30s.
Right. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I think that was a story.
No, I'm sure he was like, yes.
Was he old enough to go to the movies in that period of time?
No. Yeah. I mean, he was in his 40s or 50s when he was in the early
2000s. Right, exactly. Exactly.
But I'm sure that as a fan of film, he probably saw the classics and was like, oh my God. When he was 7 years old, he's watching King Kong.
The stories routinely are that people who saw that movie were blown away. That was the height of special effects. Like, you know, it's like the people who would go to the movie of the train in the tunnel and they ran out of the theater because they didn't know what was happening.
I don't think that actually happened, but I mean,
in this day and age, it goes back to that old saying about any significantly advanced science is indistinguishable from magic. Yeah. If you think about that, a new science about film would represent, like, people would have thought, okay, I don't know how
those people are having sex right in front of me.
Well, I don't know how a train. Because we know it came with cars. I don't know how a train got into this building, but this is clearly something coming at me very fast. I'm going to get the fuck out of the way.
Well, I can see. I can see that, right? Even in the worst 3D movies, like if you're wearing the, you dodge the things that are coming at you. Like there's a natural human response to it.
Right.
I just don't think people were running from the theater. You know, that I find that apocryphal. I would imagine that that's apocryphal.
It's possible. Yeah. But I would
But I don't know that because I was not there. No matter how old you think I am.
I would never suggest such a thing, only out of politeness. But, I you know, the stories about people seeing Kong where they were blown away by the effects and they thought they were seeing a giant ape.
Yeah.
You know? And at that time when they...
And this was before Harryhausen, you know, was doing stop motion, right?
Well, and at the time, you know, they didn't have the internet and they didn't have film and video of every animal ever existing. As far as they were concerned, potentially, that's what apes look like.
Yeah, you got to imagine that somebody in, like, Tecumseh was like... Is Tecumseh a place? Like, I'm thinking of Tecumseh. Is that where Radar was from?
Oh, yes, of course he was. Yeah, he was from Gary, Indiana, actually.
No, he was not.
You don't think so?
His name was Gary Berghoff. That was his name, the actor.
I...
Radar was from, like, Tecumseh, Iowa or somewhere.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't mess with me. I know MASH.
You know your MASH. I'm probably thinking of The Music Man. Wasn't that Gary, Indiana? That's one of the songs.
Gary, Indiana.
Exactly. I'm getting confused with my old film, Gary, Indiana. Yeah, yeah. That was Ron Howard singing that.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
Man, what does this got to do with Kong?
It's got nothing to do with Kong. Let's get back to Kong.
Those are all tangents.
Exactly.
So I'm trying to figure out. I've got to pull up. So the movie itself, how much money do you think it made in the 30s?
$60,000.
That's chump change.
Really? In the 30s? They were paying a dime to get into the films, yeah. Man.
Despite opening during the Great Depression, it earned $90,000 in its first 4 days.
Oh my God.
Crazy. What do you think that is now?
Did you look at it in inflation adjusted terms?
No, but I'm looking right now. Inflation.
I'm going to say that's $1 billion.
See, I don't know if they'll be able to go from like that early. Inflation.
Well, I think they could. I mean, there's got to be calculations for it, but
an inflation adjustment calculator
or inflation.
Let's see how far back I can go. 1913. So I can go to the 30s.
Okay.
1933. Right?
Yes, 1933 is when King Kong came out.
$90,000. That is correct.
Let's see.
Oh, we must use values less than $10,000.
Okay. So?
I put in 10 million. I put in 90 million. 90,000. All right. How much do you think $90,000 in 1933 is now?
$1 billion.
$217 million.
Really?
So it barely broke even.
That's the biggest hit ever of all time in existence.
Yeah, if the CPI, inflation calculator is to be... believed.
It made $217 million
in its first 4 days.
In 4 days.
Those are like Spider-Man numbers. Like, those are crazy.
You're so full of shit. That is beyond all Spider-Man. Spider-Man movies didn't make $200 million in 4 days.
I don't know. That might be Avengers numbers.
Yeah.
Obviously, huge hit.
Yeah.
Like, just crazy hit. Now, when do you think the sequel came out?
Son of Kong, same year. Kong.
9 months later, they threw that thing together and were like, we got a hit on our hands.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder how much of that made.
I don't think it made nearly as much. Simply because no one has ever heard of it. I've heard of it.
So, original King Kong.
I even looked up the summary.
Of what?
Of Son of Kong, yep.
All right. Okay, and...
Is that
the little one that he beats people with? Like, does he beat
it? That is, beats them, that's a reference to it, yeah. No, but the guy who, the guy who put on the show in the original movie, the one who captured him and brought him back, put on the show in Broadway before he broke loose.
Right.
He, like, runs away from New York because he's in terrible trouble, right? Right. And he hooks up with some ship's captain, and they somehow hook up with some, like, lounge singer or something. And they go back to Skull Island. They discover Kong's son, and, like, Kong's son protects them from the monsters of Skull Island. Okay. So it's kind of that sort of thing.
All right.
It's not, it doesn't have the same kind of joie de vivre of, of sort of the Beauty and the Beast and, you know, the fact that, you know, I feel like that movie is kind of advanced for its, like, he's an animal.
Right.
Right. But they treat him with a certain amount of respect.
Well, you kind of have to.
Well, he's a giant.
Don't respect
Kong. No, I mean,
you get what you deserve.
I mean, in a conceptual sense, they didn't make him just a blank villain.
Right. Yeah.
Like a giant monster that destroys things, like Godzilla was. You know, he was sort of the misunderstood sort of character, and he was heroic,
like,
in the end.
Why did you bring me to this place?
Right.
Like, I was perfectly happy in my jungle.
Right.
Like, I would have been fine.
Right.
You bring a blonde over there, though, and I'm going to follow.
This was a movie that was more negative about the human condition than about him. And he tried to heroically...
What I'm hearing...
you love it when you hear things.
It was prescient. You were saying that the humans are the problems.
Well, that's always been the case,
yes,
I think.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, except for when...
They are unfortunately also the solution. That's the problem.
Yeah, except, you know... Except when King Kong and Godzilla high-five in Godzilla Kong.
Godzilla by Kong.
Yes. Godzilla times Kong.
Yeah.
Yes.
Godzilla multiplied.
Yes. So, depending on which website you look at,
mm-hmm.
it says the film grossed $10 million at the box office and earned an additional $2.5 million when it was re-released in 1952. I find it hard to believe that it grossed
$10 million. This is inflation adjusted.
Yeah, it must be, because I'm also looking at the King Kong website, and it says that it brought in basically like 3.9 cumulative in Canada and the U.S.,
well, 3.9 million,
like until it was re-released in the 50s.
Well, but in at that time period,
that's a huge amount of money.
Yeah,
of course,
ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't calculate that because I would have to look at it individual year by year.
No,
and I'm not that persnickety.
No, I'm not either. I think this,
but it is some. Let's just call it a buttload.
It's a buttload of cash. This is what gave birth to Ray Harryhausen.
Yes. Yeah.
You're like, you know, we need a guy to make a buttload of money for us.
Yes. So, of course, we've got the two movies in the 30s,
mm-hmm.
right? And then what happens? Like, it just kind of dies out for a little while. Like, you know, there's no movies until it's re-released in the 50s.
I think you can probably say they rushed out that second movie and it didn't do quite as well, and so they saw diminishing returns. But right. You know, in today's market, they still would have rushed out like 12 other ones. You
of
know?
Course, yeah.
They would have just kept
Bride of Kong.
They would have kept piling them on. I think there is a Bride
Second
of Kong.
Second cousin of Kong.
Exactly.
Kong's grandfather.
Favorite
twice removed.
Favorite uncle of Kong. Yeah.
Yes. Kong's favorite cartoon. Yes.
Well, then you
clearly Grape Ape. It's going to be Grape.
It's going to be Grape Ape.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Kong has a favorite cartoon. It's Grape Ape.
It's got to be Grape. Well, it could be McGilly Gorilla.
No.
No, you don't think
not
so?
Big enough.
Yeah, that's true.
Kong's going to be like, you call that a great? You call that an ape?
He could be like me and like smaller stories, you know.
Mm.
Who's to say?
So in the 1960s, there were some other movies.
30 years later,
yes.
Somebody finally picked up the baton and said, hey, let's make some of these things.
In the early 1960s, O'Brien developed a story outline titled Kong versus who do you think? Kong
Godzilla.
Versus
Kong versus Mighty Joe Young.
I will give you the gross...
Kong versus the FBI.
I will give you the profit of King Kong if you figure this out. It kind of makes sense, but...
Can't even imagine. Kong versus the... what was that bird movie we watched? I can't remember.
The Giant Claw?
The Giant Claw. Kong versus the Giant Claw.
King Kong versus Frankenstein.
That's a ridiculous matchup.
Clearly.
Yeah, yes. Kong would just step on his ass. Dude, Frank's got nothing on Kong, man.
Yeah. So they were doing this in hopes of igniting interest for a potential production of the movie in color.
Mm.
But that didn't work out. So
what you're saying is, if I'm hearing you, if I'm hearing you correctly, what I hear you saying is, writers have always been shit in Hollywood.
Right. So, yes. You bring this up like it's...
Like it's news. No. Yeah, yeah.
So the main
They've movies, done some good stuff, but...
Of course.
But Kong vs. Frankenstein, ridiculous idea.
Well, the best thing about that is that it didn't end up happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have...
Now, Kong vs. Dracula. What is Dracula to Kong? A mosquito, really.
Yes. But does he... Does he come back over and over again? Does he squish? Like, does
he squishes him? Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's like an endless feast. He's like, I got me some Kong. Like, if I'm quick, he won't squish me, but yes. There's plenty of blood there. It's never going to end.
So, in the 1960s, there are three King Kong kind of events. There's King Kong versus Godzilla.
Right. Toho Studios.
1962.
Mm.
There's also... The King Kong Show.
Is that a cartoon show?
An American-Japanese animated series.
Yeah, yeah, cartoon show, yeah.
Yes. And there is King Kong Escapes.
Okay.
Yes.
I've heard of that. I have no idea what that's about.
An evil genius named Doctor Who creates Mechani Kong, a mecha version of King Kong to dig for the highly radioactive Element X. And we make fun of unobtainium.
Is this a Toho movie?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, it's a kaiju film.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
I figured this was after Mecha Godzilla, so they were like, hey, we can make mecha other kaiju.
Yeah, I don't... I'm trying to read through this, but... production between Toho and Rankin Bass...
Yeah, exactly.
That's perfect. All right, so then we've got those three movies in the 60s, or those properties.
For the listeners who may not be familiar with who Rankin Bass are, they're the ones who did all the Christmas stuff. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Stop motion animation.
Yeah, famous for that. And obviously they did Frosty, so they did regular animation too, but that's who Rankin Bass is. So.
Right.
Yep.
So Toho, I can imagine, like, what can we do? Let's bring some Godzilla.
When I looked on Wikipedia, they said, King Kong is a kaiju. I was like, really? Or is that what we're applying to?
Well, that's kind of what they are implying.
All giant monsters.
The most recent versions.
Yeah, are referred to as kaiju.
Yeah. Well, Starro is a kaiju, apparently, right?
Yeah, he's got to be a kaiju.
We got a kaiju up in this bitch.
What are they called in the Monsterverse, though? Titans.
Mutu.
Aren't they called Titans?
Mutus.
No,
they're called Mutus.
That one thing was called a Mutu in the first movie.
No, they're all called Mutus.
They are not.
You haven't finished watching whatever that show is.
Yeah.
Monarch.
Okay.
I can't wait for you to finish watching
So they called them all Mutus back in the day.
Yeah, they retroactively stated that that's what was the term that, young Kurt...
Kurt Russell.
Why Russell? Want to say Kurt Douglas.
Yeah.
The young Kurt Russell.
Why did everybody name their kid Kurt back then? So stupid.
Kaiju definition.
Well, now I know I'm going to hate Monarch if I finish it. If they're like,
kaiju?
Oh, they're Mutu. No, Mutu is what they called that one thing. Come on, man.
In the show.
I know.
They called all of the giants Mutus.
I don't like it.
Massive...
Unidentified terrestrial organisms.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't...
No, there's an U in there.
Yeah. Kaiju is a Japanese word meaning strange creature. In English, it has come to mean monster or giant monster.
Yeah. Is it massive organism, titanic, unidentified?
Mutu definition.
So dumb. Hi, baby. I don't know why they feel the need to sort of, like, retcon it so that it fits into everything. So dumb.
Mm.
That's just me being persnickety, though, because that's what I do.
Must have been Muto.
That's what it is, Muto.
Muto.
I like Mutu better anyway.
The Mutos are fictional monsters or kaiju. in Legendary Pictures' MonsterVerse media franchise.
I see.
Yes. Hey, there's a link here that says translate Muto from Italian into English. What do you think I should do?
I'm beginning to think this isn't going to be our best episode ever.
Oh.
So what's next on the King Kong slate?
So in the 70s and 80s, they've got King Kong, mm-hmm. which is the 1976 film with Jessica Lange.
Yes. Did you ever see that?
I'm sure I did, yes.
Was it? Yeah. Who was it that was in that with him? Was Bridges.
Jeff Bridges?
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Was the male lead.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
That would
man.
Be pretty cool.
And that was
I'm opening up the Nitro. Irish cream porter.
Can't wait
Nitro.
To see how good that is.
Should I hard pour, do you think?
I would just give it a try and see how you go.
It seems like you should hard pour this.
Yes.
Glug 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 glug.
I agree.
Hmm.
Nicely okay. done.
Yes. Thank you. So, yes, we've got the 1976 film produced by Dino De Laurentiis.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about that one is it's not the Empire State Building. It's the Twin Towers.
Is it?
That he climbs, yeah. Oh. In fact, there's a scene where he jumps from one to the other to try and escape the attack helicopters. Does it feel skunked? It's not good? What's going on?
Just... I was expecting nibs, and did not get nibs.
Well, of course you're not going to get nibs.
We also have... So do we want to talk more about King Kong, 1976? Listen, you know, 1976, you've got some better visual effects, but not great.
Yeah.
I would imagine that the 1933 ones are more interesting in terms of like watching in the 1976.
The 1976 ones were really more like I think they filmed a guy in a pretty good ape suit
mm-hmm.
and just sort of superimposed it on the screen with you know, and they had practical effects for giant hands and stuff picking up Jessica Lange and stuff.
Right.
I still remember that.
Which they definitely did in the 1990s or 2000s movie. Was it 2000s? It would have been after the
Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
That
was 2005, I think. Yeah.
I'm not sure if there was a lot of practical effects in that one. Peter Jackson was a big fan of the CGI, and he was pretty good at it.
Yeah.
You know, and they did that was he pretty much perfected motion capture from Lord of the Rings. So that was what that was all about. That's why that's such a great movie effects wise is the motion capture. Andy Serkis.
Hmm. Yes. Andy Serkis. He makes a great monkey.
He did a great job.
Yeah, Gollum.
I have to say that...
Is Gollum a monkey? No. Not an ape.
A primate, maybe. He's got no tail. He might be an ape. I don't know. I don't know what halflings are considered, in all honesty, but...
Yes.
Persnickety is... that's a whole other conversation, right. Really. A very interesting one, but, you know. So the genetics of the halflings in Lord of the Rings.
So what do you prefer? The 1976 movie, the 1930s movie. What do you prefer?
Oh well, I have nostalgia, but Peter Jackson's is the one that I own that I go back occasionally and watch. Now I don't. The thing is about it is that it's a long movie. I love
Peter Jackson.
Yeah,
that was 2005.
Right. I love Jack Black in it. I love the premise.
Well, it's
of
hard
it.
To not like Jack Black.
Well,
you know,
no, it's
he's
not.
A likable motherfucker.
It's not hard to not like Jack Black, but I like him. Some people do not like him.
Really?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like Jack Black?
Dumbasses. Yeah.
This is some bullshit. I can't say it and not laugh. After.
I know.
That's the problem.
I know.
Like, you got to say it deadpan.
That's the magic of that show, man. But no, I watch that movie. I like the setup. I like the actors in it. The fact that he's a he considers himself an auteur.
Yeah.
And so he's gonna run off to this island. And taking all these people, lying to them, telling them they're going to get paid just so he can try and get this footage. As opposed to, I don't remember what goes on in the 1933. I don't know why they go to that island. But I think it also has something to do with filming a movie.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So I think Peter Jackson's is more of a throwback to 1933. The 1976...
You're saying that it, not necessarily a more strict retelling? Is that what it is? Not necessarily a throwback.
Right? Well, I just mean that in 1976, they were looking for oil. They went to Skull Island because there were some...
I was 4 years old. Come on.
Of course. There was some indication that there was oil deposits. And, you know, this was during the, I don't know, the oil shortage or whatever. And when
the oil embargo didn't start until the late 70s.
I don't know what was going on at the time, but that's what the movie was about. And when they got there, when they checked out the oil, they realized it was, they're like, yeah, this is going to be great oil in about 10,000 years. Like, it was just starting to cook kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was the representation. And it was, I can't remember the name of the guy from Midnight Run. I think he was the oil executive that was kind of married to this idea.
Let's see. Midnight Run had...
Charles Grodin?
Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin.
Yeah. Charles Grodin. Yeah. So Charles Grodin was the...
You know things.
Yeah.
And Dennis Farina?
I don't...
Joe Pantoliano?
Well, I remember Dennis Farina, yeah. But I think that's what happened is they went there looking for oil, couldn't find it. He's like, I still got to bring back something big. So they brought back King Kong.
So you are right. I just did a very quick search. There was an oil embargo in 1973, but the big one was in the late 70s. So
various
the
things.
70s were a weird time.
Oil was an issue, yes. Let's just say.
Yeah. So the other movie in the 1970s...
Can you tell that is not necessarily a great movie? I still kind of enjoyed King Kong in 1976 or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I could see doing a re-showing.
I got to say, Jessica Lange was about as sexy as you get, you know.
Well, would she... we can't talk about that yet because we officially haven't talked about any K-pop bands.
Yes.
So, yeah.
We'll talk about that after we talk about K-pop bands, but I predict we may do in the future.
Yes. So the other movie that they've listed here within the 1970s-80s is King Kong Lives.
Okay.
Which
I've heard
was
of that.
10 years later. A film sequel to King Kong, the 1976, which is set 10 years later. This was the final Kong film in which the title character was portrayed using suits and practical effects.
And when was this?
This was 1986.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Seems weird that I wouldn't have seen this, because that would have been right when I was working at the movie theater.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't wide release. Or maybe you were just watching more Princess Bride.
No, that didn't come out until 87.
It's so good that you know the exact date of when these things all come out.
No, I only know it because we've talked about it in the past. Or is it in the future? I don't know anymore.
It's hard to tell.
Don't know.
It's so hard to tell.
So then we get into the 90s,
mm-hmm.
Or later. We've got earlier attempts of King Kong. The 2005 film is... The Jack Black, Adrian Brody, Naomi Watts. But apparently, Peter Jackson was approached in the mid 90s by Universal Pictures and offered a chance to remake King Kong.
Okay,
and he was approached because people liked
the Frighteners. Yeah.
And they were like, hey. What do you think? Could you do this? And he turned them down.
Because he didn't feel like the effects were where he wanted them to be?
I don't know. It says Jackson initially turned down the offer, but reneged on his decision after fearing that the remake would fail under a different director. Talk about hubris. Okay, I don't want to do it, but it's going to suck if anybody else does.
I know. They don't love it like I do.
Yeah.
Well, that would probably have been true of Lord of the Rings, you know.
But, I mean, clearly he had a lot of, like, big... At that point, he was now attached to the Lord of the Rings.
Right.
And that's a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
With a lot of special effects. And he's like, maybe we can do this thing. Right? And so his next thing was that. Was after that. So Universal halted progress on a Robert Zemeckis film in 1997 after growing concerns over competition from the then upcoming release of TriStar's Godzilla, mm-hmm. the 1998 Godzilla.
Oh, the terrible one.
And Disney's Mighty Joe.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, that's good, though.
Yeah.
I can't see Zemeckis doing a particularly good King Kong movie, really. He seemed to do sort of comedic kind of things, really, right?
Yeah, you know, Jack Black is not comedic.
I'm talking about the director. He has a much larger view of things than just one actor.
Yeah.
Besides, Jack, you know, Jack is good for comedic effect, but in that movie, you know, that's the thing. He was kind of a villain, but you still didn't hate him. When his various people would die, he's like, "We're going to finish this film for him." Like, for his widow. Like, you're just like, man, you're just a piece of shit. But you can't hate the guy, you know?
Right.
You get it. That's really the sign of a good character actor, where he's just like, yeah, you know. Yeah. I'm being a fucking dickhead, but you still kind of like me for it.
Yeah. You know, Hugh Grant lived his whole life based on that ethos, right?
Didn't always like him. Bridget Jones, The Diary?
Nah. We just recently watched Notting Hill, and my daughter got weepy.
Of course.
So in the 2000s, there was Kong the Animated Series.
Yes, okay.
And of course, they had the 2005 King Kong movie.
Right.
So we have basically three King Kong movies, ostensibly telling the same story.
Indeed.
And of course, the 2005 film obviously has the better effects.
Yes.
But of the three, I mean, if I've got a place in my heart, and I don't, but if I had a place in my heart, it would be for the OG. It would be for the 33.
I've only seen parts of the OG. I need to go back and watch the actual movie.
It's Beauty that killed the Beast.
I'm surprised that you have seen that movie, having never seen older films like Godzilla and stuff. Did your wife make you watch it?
No, I remember watching it when I was younger. Like, it might have actually been played in Greece. Because the Navy base would have movies that they showed. And it was like, it wasn't in a movie theater. It was like the auditorium. And they would bring out movies. And I'm pretty sure I saw it there.
Okay. That would make sense. Yeah. I've seen the main...
It kind of explains why I would have a soft spot for it. Because I have a soft spot for that entire time of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I just... That whole... Like, that 2 years when I was in Greece... Patrick didn't do much wrong during those times.
I have a soft spot for the 2005 movie, but it has the same problem that I ascribe to, I predict, in the very near future, K-pop concerts.
This isn't bad. It takes a little bit of getting
He's talking to. About his beer,
yeah,
by the way, guys.
I'm thinking that the vanilla and cocoa nibs...
Cacao nibs
imply a much sweeter beer than this.
This is more stout forward or porter forward.
It's a bit more porter forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine. It just you got to know that going into.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to go in expecting one thing and get slapped in the face
with like stout.
Right. Yeah.
Stout will smack your face.
Yeah.
And paddle your bottom. That's what stout does. Yeah,
make it feel bad. It's for well not known, calling him in the
it's
morning.
It's well known for it. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so you've got a softer spot.
I was going to say there. I think it would have been a lesser movie if anybody other than Peter Jackson did it. But
that's I don't not think to, people would have cared quite as much. Like it would have been a money grab in a lot of it's like you say with Robert Zemeckis, it would have been like we got to crank this thing out.
It's a fine movie, but I think that it could have used a little bit more editing because there are scenes in there that didn't they're cool as shit, but the movie is a little overly long, especially on Skull Island. And here's the thing: is that the original 1933 version apparently famously had a scene where giant insects attacked the people on the island, and that was cut from the film. And so Peter Jackson
put it back in,
put a scene about the giant insects in, and it's
you ain't gotta have that
though. I know, that's my point. It's creepy as shit and it's cool as balls, but it just makes the movie longer. And it's extraneous. Like,
okay,
there's a couple of scenes that you could have cut because they're sort of a replication of other scenes that go on, like fighting the dinosaurs and various things. Yeah, we get it. This thing has dinosaurs and they're dangerous and stuff. So doing too much of that becomes just something that is for effect and it makes the movie too long.
Do you think this is because at that point Peter Jackson was, quote-unquote, Peter Jackson? Like, he had come off of the huge success.
It was a blank check situation.
Yeah, there weren't a lot
of
people who were like, "Yeah, let's pull this back a notch."
Yeah, why don't we cut that? Let's cut that,
buddy.
Yeah,
Pete,
you don't need to do that. Yeah,
you just like listen. We got to trim like 20 minutes out of this movie.
Instead of having the entire crew fall down this cliff and get attacked by insects, let's have one insect attack.
Yeah,
you know. Now, I appreciate the fact that it's very rare that if an insect attacks you, it's just one insect. It's usually a bunch of insects. They tend to like, pile up, but, you know.
All right, so we have three love interests, right? We've got Faye Ray, Jessica Lange,
mm-hmm.
and Naomi Watts.
Right.
Like, how do they rank? What's the order there? Are they all of a piece for you, or are you putting Jessica Lange?
Once again, I haven't really watched the original. Just I know it, and I've seen parts of it. So Faye Ray is not going to be in the running because I don't have that background. But yeah, Naomi Watts, gorgeous. But I'm going to give it to
Jessica
Lange. Yeah,
I get it.
There's that scene, and it's fairly gratuitous where she falls in the mud, and then he picks her up in his giant practical effects hand and puts her under the waterfall
yes.
to bathe her. So it's like a wet t-shirt contest.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes, gorgeous, you know? I mean, how can you not like
and
that?
And in the more recent movie, we have him under the waterfall. Like,
yeah, like shaking out his shaggy hair.
I just tore an animal, like, with all of its green goo so it could lay down on me. And so I've got to take a big bath.
So you're talking about Godzilla?
Kong. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got... after that, of course, we get into all of the 2010s and presents. We've got King... we've got Kong, : King of the Apes. We got the MonsterVerse, Kong Skull Island, Godzilla versus Kong, Skull Island TV series.
I'm interested
Godzilla
in this... If you go back, Kong. I'm interested in Godzilla, King of the Apes. What is that?
Godzilla...
Kong, King
Kong,
of the Apes.
King of the Apes. Yeah. Let me see. Kong, King of the Apes is an animated television series that's produced by 41 Entertainment. It's the third animated series for the Kong franchise.
Okay.
Yeah.
This I've not, you know, loving animation and stuff. Some of these things have escaped me.
Well,
so.
All you got to know is that it was released on April 15th, 2016. On Netflix.
Oh.
So.
Oh, on Netflix.
It might actually still be out there.
I think that it may be.
Let's check.
It sounds familiar, actually, now that you say it's on Netflix.
Oh, I'm going to my Netflix.
I have not watched none of it. A lot of their...
search. Deadpool Detectives is out there, though.
Ooh, gotta watch that.
Kong, King of the Apes. Available on Netflix.
I have too many K-dramas to finish before I can watch Deadpool Detectives, but...
The you know how they have the picture?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Kong next to a Godzilla egg. It might be Madison Square Garden. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Oh, Dennis Devlin, you son of a bitch.
All right, so those are our movies so far. It gets us into the more recent MonsterVerse stuff.
Yeah.
Which we have talked to
that we all know and love. We've
talked to death, and it, of course, is like putting Kong on the same
size pedestal as Godzilla.
Yeah, which is clearly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has no, like, atomic anything. Except for an axe. That
exactly.
Apparently,
he does have an axe.
Yeah.
You know, the apes are well known for using tools.
Yes. So they say that Legendary initially targeted a November 4, 2016 release of Godzilla, a Godzilla Kong film, and had offered Joe Cornish to direct it. Around that time, Peter Jackson expressed interest in seeing Guillermo del Toro direct it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Which would have been... Like, I would like to see what Guillermo does.
I know. He goes a little off the rails, though.
Yeah.
I will say that of all the Kong movies, Kong Skull Island is my favorite.
Well, yeah. It's a small story. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yep. Exactly. And.
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 And. The structure, I find...
I like how you say you like when I... what I'm hearing is, that's what I like, but when you say and that's what I like. I can't wait to see what happens after the end of the and.
I kind of like the structure of the Kong in that movie, where he stands more upright. Yeah. He tends to be a different kind of creature. So...
He's more more proud? More stoic? I don't know. Like, is he more... He's not heroic, is he? He's like,
is he
more of a protector?
Yes, the representation is that he is the king of this place, and he keeps it from getting out of control and stuff. So
now, and he eats some squid. He does all kinds of stuff.
I don't know how that giant squid got that big. I mean, what kind of fish live in that damn lake, man? You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Well, it all comes down to nuclear.
Plus, Titso Schnein, bro.
Titso Schnein, bro. We need to change that, don't we? Do we need to change that back to Titso Schnein, bro?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go. That brings us up. We've already talked about some of the animated stuff. The King Kong Show.
Mm-hmm.
That was a 1966 TV show with 50 episodes animated.
Mm-hmm.
The animated series about the adventures of King Kong and his young pal, Bobby Bond. Also featured were the adventures of Tom of Thumb, a 6-inch-tall secret agent. That's dumb. The 60s were a weird time.
They were smoking a lot of pot, doing some acid, and just throwing everything at the wall, man. Everything.
Yeah. We don't want to talk about any of these books, do we? Like, let's get into the comic books.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Because as soon as the original movie came out, RKO started to produce... a comic strip about King Kong.
Yeah, that was back in the day.
Which is kind of fun. Like, it kind of shocks me that there was nothing between the 30s and the 60s.
Yeah.
I would have imagined that somebody would have taken a shot.
Something that did that well during the Depression. You would have thought somebody would have been like, hey, can we do more of this? But if you think about the time, like sequels and those kind of things.
Never.
That's not what they did. Yeah.
Remakes were not a thing.
Nope.
They were just like, I guess that was a thing. Okay.
We did great. What else can we do?
Yeah. How can we be original?
What other giant thing can we... Oh, giant pterodactyl.
The giant
didn't work out. Did not work out. Man. Yeah.
I just like the idea of people not even thinking about... how can we reuse that IP? It's such a fond memory. To, like, not
well, what's
think
weird.
Of Hollywood being, like...
Yeah, what's weird is that they did do Son of Kong, and that did well, not as well, but still more than well enough.
I would love to see what is the metric for success. We've got a huge movie that made, like, $200 million in its first 4 days.
Yeah.
We release, 9 months later, we release a knockoff of it, and who knows how much that makes. I don't know. The Son of Kong might make half of that.
Yeah.
Still. Okay. That's still $100 million.
That's still an unbelievable amount of money. Yeah.
And then they're like, well, we'll forget about this for 30 years.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just kind
of
crazy.
Who's in charge of this corporation, man?
It's kind of crazy, you know?
Yeah. I got to agree with you. That doesn't make any damn sense.
Yeah, so we have the King Kong Show in the 60s.
What about the comic books? What do we got?
In the 60s and 70s, we've got Mexican King Kong comics.
I wonder what the copyright laws were back in the day.
From 1965 to 1969.
Probably not applicable in Mexico. They were like, we don't care. Try and find us.
Yeah, screw you guys.
Yeah.
From 1965 to 1969. Nice. A Mexican comic company called Editorial Orizaba, published a series based on King Kong. The series was published with fully painted colors, but with sepia and white interior artwork. In 1980s, the series was reprinted again. We've got Golden Key Comics in the 60s. We've got King Kong the Robot in 1964, which is a British company, a British comic, created a character in the pages of Valiant Comics called Mitek the Mighty, who is basically a giant robot ape. Monster Comics in the this doesn't give a date.
I miss the days of, like, cool, sort of, like, out there comics, you know? Yeah.
Well, now they just print comics that they know are going to sell. They're just like,
or they hope are going to sell.
Let's just put out, like, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman. That's what we know is going to sell.
Right.
Let's put out Spider-Man, Hulk, and the Avengers.
Yeah.
Well, we know that'll sell. So, yes, the Monster Comics had issues part one, Denim's Quest.
Denim's Quest.
Kong's
wow.
Island. So this is basically taking the movie, I think.
Yeah.
Death in Devil's Chasm. Beauty and the Beast.
Mm.
The Wrath of Kong.
I'm glad they finally got back to that.
And the Eighth Wonder of the World.
Yes.
Yes. Then, in the 90s, we move over, and apparently the IP is owned by Dark Horse Comics.
Oh, wow.
Dark Horse always had some different alternative stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
they would do some different stuff, which was always cool, actually. But I sent them the Witch Hound, and they did not take a bite
at it.
They didn't
take
it? No. Mm.
Kong, King of the Skull Island, was published illustrated novel in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Boom Studios in 2016, published a 6-issue series called The Kong of Skull Island.
Yep.
Then we get back Legendary Comics after that, Dynamite Comics. Now, more recently, they've got a... I will say that... I've never really owned many King Kong comics.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is now a Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, wow.
Comic series that's happening. And how do you imagine that Superman is put out of... Because Superman's going to... Superman. Like, I don't care if King Kong... Like, I don't care
it's if Godzilla... It's Godzilla and Kong?
It's Godzilla versus... It's Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong. So it's like nobody's on the right.
It's like a...
it's a battle, long triangle.
Battle Royale.
Yes.
Yeah.
So...
You know what's going to happen, though?
What's going to happen?
There's red sun radiation in Godzilla's radiation breath.
Oh, you are so wrong. No.
You've already read some of this?
Yeah, it's already out.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting on the last issue.
So what you're saying is I've already written a better comic book than they put out.
Yes, because in the comic...
Uh-huh.
His radiation breath basically puts Superman into a death-like coma. And everybody's like, oh my gosh.
I was actually right then.
Well, I don't know. That seems science-y to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
well, something about his radiation affected Superman. What sort of radiation affects Superman? I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up.
But
there's two types, kryptonite radiation and red sun radiation.
Well, he's clearly not kryptonite.
Well, but who's to say?
You've written a better story already.
Exactly.
It's like a 6-issue series,
mm-hmm.
and they've released like 5 of the issues.
Okay.
And so... Superman, of course, wakens from his coma, and they've trapped Godzilla at the bottom of the ocean
mm-hmm.
with Inth Metal?
However you pronounce that,
they've trapped
him. Isn't that what Adam Strange uses?
Probably.
Inth Metal, yeah.
I don't know. He was attacking, Atlantis.
Okay. And Godzilla was?
Godzilla was attacking Atlantis... Because another Titan was attacking Atlantis as well. And of course, Atlantis, at that point, released the Kraken.
Yeah.
To try to protect. And, like, the whole thing went pear-shaped. But they clamped Godzilla's leg with this Inth Metal thing. And so he's at the bottom of the ocean.
Okay.
And so Superman goes down after he awakens from his...
Radiation sleep. Yeah.
And is like, you and me, we got business. We got business. You know?
He's like, I'm going to hit you with my underwater radiation breath and put you back to sleep. You son of a bitch.
Probably what he should do.
I'd eat you, except you're not chewy. You're hard and shit. Like, break my teeth and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. Would he? Yeah, he probably would.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
so I'm waiting to see how this whole thing wraps up. But it's basically to try to, like... clearly, DC has some ownership stake in... the Monsterverse.
Yeah, yeah.
And
these corporations have some kind of combination.
No, it's not the Monsterverse, because the Monsterverse is, like...
Universal.
No, well...
Is it?
I was thinking Paramount? Universal Monsters is like Dracula.
And yeah, stuff. Yeah. No, Universal Monsters is Dracula and Frankenstein.
But the Monsterverse is...
Legendary.
Legendary.
Legendary, yeah.
All right, which they would own a piece of. Because I'm a lawyer.
So what you're saying is you're a lawyer.
Yeah. Well, no, what you're hearing
is... Yeah. What I'm hearing is...
And
you're a lawyer. Mm-hmm. It's always good to know a lawyer.
It is good to know a lawyer.
Yeah, it's
as
also...
As much as we hate to...
It's also bad to know a lawyer.
As much as you hate to talk about lawyers...
Yeah.
It's good to know.
As much as I hate the industry of law, if you live in a world that is absolutely crushed and smothered by the industry of law, it's good to know a lawyer.
It's good to know a lawyer.
Yep.
Yeah, and have them on speed dial.
Yeah, yes.
All right, so anyway, back to ESPA. What are we going to talk about? No.
They are...
Predicting our conversation in 3 days. Yeah.
In four days, you may find that ESPA is super sexy.
Yeah, I can't let us go without talking about King Kong Alive on Broadway.
Oh, yes.
All right? This, I think if we were to go to a Broadway show... This would be the thing
I would love
to.
I heard it has like the giant puppets and stuff.
It does. Yeah. It has a huge puppet. And I'm sure it tells the exact same story.
Yeah. But there's nothing as cool as the ultimate practical effect, which is a DeLorean that flies and goes through time right in front of you on stage.
Yeah, apparently King Kong played its final Broadway performance on August 18th, 2019.
Oh, wow, we missed it by five years. Man.
And this is a show that's never going to come back because you just can't reproduce that. Although...
Do you think there's a film of it on YouTube? There should be.
Maybe.
Those sons of bitches. Somebody should have taped that fucking shit.
Yeah, I mean, you could always do low-res versions of this stuff.
Dude in the backseat with his phone on? Yeah, maybe.
No, when I was...
I'll take it if that's all I can get.
A couple of years ago, I took my son to a show at Wells Theater.
Yeah.
Of...
Love the Wells, man. The seats are so uncomfortable.
They are. It's like going to the narrow.
That's what I mean. I mean, it's a great old theater, but... Man, fix the seats, okay? You don't need to keep the seats the same as they were in the 1950s.
Hey, they're all old people. What are they going to complain about? They're just going to blame it on their hips and...
They're not even aware that the chairs are shit. Yeah, they're
just like, oh, my hip's hurting. No, it's because you're sitting on a folding chair.
Yeah.
What did we see? We saw one of the...
Lion King.
No, it was... It was
one Phantom of the Opera.
It was one of Tolkien's books. It was The Hobbit.
Oh, you saw The Hobbit.
Yeah, on stage. But it was like a combination of the professional folks and the kids from the Governor's Academy. They were putting on this show.
Right.
And so, of course, they've got Smaug in that book. Like, how are you going to present Smaug on the stage? And they did it with, like lights... And big trash bags. And it looked pretty decent. It wasn't horrible. So I could imagine you could do a low-res version of this. But I would have liked to have gone when it was actually...
So what I'm hearing you say is...
Oh, wait a minute.
What you're saying is...
And?
We should we should contact the Wells Theater and say, hey, we want to put on a King Kong Broadway show with trash bags.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
King Kong Alive on Broadway. The epic modern myth comes alive on Broadway through an innovative mix of animatronics, puppetry, music, and stagecraft.
And trash bags.
It's 1931. The world is in the grip of the Great Depression. And New York City is a place of pressure, of desperation, but also... of hope. Enter Anne Darrow, a fearless young actress with a will of steel and dreams that reach as high as the just completed Empire State Building.
And tons of trash bags.
After a brutal struggle just to stay on her feet, Anna finds her big break in the form of Carl Denham, a fast-talking filmmaker who promises to make her the star of his next big adventure
movie. And to give her tons of trash bags.
Throwing caution to the wind, she joins Carl on a voyage to the mysterious Skull Island. There, they encounter a wonder more astonishing than they could have possibly imagined. A 20-foot tall, 2,000-pound ape known only as...
Trash bags.
Calm. 20 feet tall. Listen.
20 feet tall is
20 feet tall is like 3.5 times taller than I am.
Yeah.
That is not...
That's Mighty Joe Young. Godzilla. That's Mighty Joe Young size.
Yeah, that's not Godzilla like size.
That's not competitive with Godzilla.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy, then.
This is some bullshit.
This is some bullshit.
I had to take a drink so that I wouldn't laugh, but you're sitting there wheezing
out.
I'm
just coughing, yeah. Coughing it up. This is some bullshit.
Man, this is some bullshit. All right, well, yeah, that's King Kong.
That was clearly our best episode ever.
Absolutely. I can't wait to say that on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you might have said... I think you might say it on Tuesday.
I think I might say it, yeah, yeah.
I might agree with you, though.
Although, I will probably forget this by Tuesday, but I feel like the top 11 primate movies was actually a better episode.
Probably.
It was fun.
There was...
Surprisingly fun.
Yeah, a lot more poop throwing.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, that was one of the good jokes.
Kong would have...
We should talk about poop throwing more often.
Kong would have had some huge poops
to I know, throw. Yeah. Those dinosaurs would never have come near him.
No.
There would be no fight.
Giant bugs?
They'd be like,
what are you
oh,
talking about?
That's the poop guy. Get like, run. Run yeah. away, man.
Yeah. That guy never washes
yeah.
his hands.
And his aim is so good. I mean.
Well, anyway.
He could be a major league pitcher with that poop throwing, that guy.
Lord. It only matters when poops are hard.
No, I don't think that's true.
Well,
I think actually the opposite.
Which would you rather have, a bunch of liquid poo thrown at you, or one really hard poo?
Oh, the hard poo every time. Every time,
because yeah, it's gonna bounce.
It's gonna hurt, but it's just gonna bounce off that liquid poo. I mean,
it leaves its mark. Leaves a mark.
It's a lot more work to get
yeah.
that
What do you think
gone?
Kong's
yeah.
diet is like, though?
Oh, man. Well, apparently he eats lots of giant octopus.
Yeah, there's a lot of seafood.
I feel like if you eat a lot of meat, it's like your poops are a little bit more consistent.
Yeah, I didn't
you know,
see
yeah.
a lot of giant broccoli on there.
You don't, you know, I don't know. I think fiber is a myth, man.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Fiber doesn't exist?
No, it's there, but it's not useful for your poops, I don't think.
I can't wait for this podcast to come out. Oh, man, Jerry, you got to tell us how we're doing.
Or maybe not.
Or don't. Yeah, this is not the episode to tell us about. All right, well, the dame is speaking. Is there anything else you want to say at the end of Ape Rill?
Yeah, I'm disappointed that my wife would not give us a new Wrap It Up Nerds.
Yeah.
She was, like, put off by it. We were like, come on, do a Wrap It Up Nerds. And she was like, I don't know what to do. And I was just like, this is not you.
I think it's probably because I kept saying, you can't calm it down. Like, you're not going to take it down a notch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
pop it up a notch. She's like, too much pressure.
I can't tell you to simmer down.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think it has to come naturally.
Put it out there,
Maybe
man.
Maybe I should have my wife try to do it.
Oh, that would be nice. You guys are weird is pretty good. So she might be able to do a pretty good Wrap It Up Nerds.
She'd probably be like, shut the fuck up, guys.
I would take it. I think that's awesome.
Is that my wife? Vanya?
Nope.
My daughter.
What you need to do is go in there and ask her to do it over and over until she gets so angry that you get a really good one.
Hi.
There she is.
Very easily.
So here is our current Wrap It Up Nerds. Yeah, Nerds, Wrap It Up! And that has been for like a year and a half. We have some others that are just awkward.
Okay.
Right? And it's just weird.
You do make things awkward.
Well, this is weird.
Wrap It Up Nerds, please.
It's called Wrap It Up Nerds Icky. That's what I named that one. And then we've got the loud one.
That's a yodel nerd.
It is.
Right. And so we were going to have Andy's wife, the beautiful Mariana, yeah. Mariana, we're gonna have her do a new set of these for this year, but she got stage fright or something, like she didn't want to do it. So I was thinking maybe you would do some Wrap It Up Nerds for us.
Maybe.
Would you do them right now?
I haven't had any wine yet.
No, you don't do it right now. Let her prepare herself. Plan it out. Throw it out there.
We need three versions. Audio. You can put your own spin on it.
Right now? No, not right now.
Right. Next time we record, just keep it in the back of your mind.
I don't know if I could stand up to Marianas.
Trust me. It's not that hard.
Yeah. She listened to the icky one and she's like, oh, that's icky. That's pretty icky. Yeah. So she was
not happy about it. You got to catch her after a couple of bottles of wine, glasses.
Marianna's buzzed off one drink. Exactly. Are you kidding me? Yeah. A couple of bottles should be underground.
Yeah, we had we did a bunch of yard work today, and then we sat on the back porch, and she had a Truly, and I had a beer, and she was like, "I got to buzz off that Truly." I'm like, "Really?"
She did
that one Truly. You got to buzz off of that.
I wish I was like that. I mean, you know, cheap date, like she keeps going.
Yes, she is the cheapest
date. I don't want to be cheap date, but you know what I mean. Like,
well, she's not a cheap date either. She invariably, at a restaurant, when there are no prices, picks the most expensive thing.
That's what Patrick does. He's just like, I want that, bunk.
That is not true.
You just order what you want with no regard to how hard I have to work to pay for it.
You love chicken. It's all about the chicken.
I love how both of us are like snidely whiplash. Alright, well anyway, why don't you give us a wrap it up, nerds?
Do you want me to be exhausted like I am now?
You just be whatever you, whatever, like, just let it take you over.
Are there curse words involved?
Sure.
You can do whatever
you want. Oh my god, fucking wrap it up!
Alright, but you gotta throw a nerds in there.
Oh. Nerds.
No, see, that was spontaneous.
Yeah.
We'll take that one.
We'll take that one.
My God, nerds, wrap it up!
All right, that's pretty good. All right.
But you were talking over it.
All right. Well, the dame has spoken, so it is not. The new dame! We got a new dame in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you just have to cut that out.
Yeah, we got a new dame in the neighborhood.
Oh my God, nerds, wrap it up.
Alright, well, the dame has spoken, so it is time for us to wrap it up. As always, I have been Kong.
And I have been Da Kong.
You guys are weird.